enjoy using social media, or does it frustrate you more often than not? Do you ever get anxious or sad because of the constant barrage of negative news or political debate on social media sites? Does it worry you sometimes that you aren't having as much fun as your friends? Do you ever feel left out? Do you think you're on social media sites too much? Have you ever considered taking a break? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Our guest this hour is the co-author of a study on social media use and anxiety in young adults, and we will wonder why social media sometimes causes so much stress and anxiety. And we'll welcome your questions and experiences, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Anna Vannucci, Research Associate at Connecticut Children's Medical Center, co-author of the study Social Media Use and Anxiety in Emerging Adults. She was quoted in a recent Time article, "You asked, is social media making me miserable?" Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. So what inspired your study, Social Media Use and Anxiety in Emerging Adults?
Well, I think I've always been very interested in how people communicate with each other, and I think a lot of how people communicate and interact with the world or form communities is through social media. But we don't really know, or there's not much information about how using social media impacts our mental health, and particularly our stress levels and our anxiety levels. So that's really what led to the motivation for this study.
Yeah. Well, and what is an emerging adult?
An emerging adult is basically college-age people, so anyone between the ages of 18 and 22 years old.
All right. So why did you want to focus on that age group?
Right. We focused on that age group in particular because this is a group that is still not quite into their full adult roles. They're still trying to navigate their identities and things like that. And they're also very, very invested in using social media as well. So it would be both a high-risk group, but also a group that's very much using social media so that we could get a good sample.
Yeah. So we don't have to go into every detail, but generally, how did you conduct the study?
We used a national sample. We actually reached out online across the nation, and we asked people to complete an online survey in 2014, and we asked about their social media use, about from a huge range of all the different social media sites. And then we also asked about their stress level and anxiety, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess generally, what did you find?
We found pretty consistently that the more time that young adults are using social media on a daily basis, basically the higher reports of anxiety symptoms they have and the more likelihood that they would be meeting a criteria for actually a full syndrome anxiety disorder.
Why, my goodness. So, and you can say that there's a direct connection between their social media use and this anxiety disorder that they might have?
Yeah, so that is what the data are indicating. We're not sure because we're not sure the direction of it. So it could be that social media is actually causing or increasing the risk for anxiety disorders, but it also could be that people with anxiety disorders tend to use social media a lot more.
Yeah. So why do you think there could be a connection between social media use and being stressed out and anxious? Why would that be?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons why. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons we think is that when people go online, they oftentimes compare themselves to what they see that other people are doing or other accomplishments of other people. We call it this compare and despair attitude. Aww. See what other people are doing because they're often presenting the best parts of themselves and the best parts of their lives, and it makes people feel really bad. Why am I not doing this? They have a fear of missing out. That whole FOMO complex, I think, is kind of was is a huge thing that people, that happens when we, if you realize you aren't invited to a social event that other, your friends are participating in. There's a lot of, I think that's a huge thing, that whole compare and despair.
Yeah. So besides, thinking somebody else has a better life than we do, is there any other reasons why social media might make us anxious?
Certainly. We get a lot of exposure also to the thoughts and opinions of others, as well as lots of news articles that pop up. Especially in the current political climate and cultural climate, we can find that's oftentimes pretty stressful or can be pretty disturbing for people. Another reason that people may feel stressed is that if you yourself even post something and you don't get the response that you want, such as not as receiving any likes, or if even people make negative comments about something you say, that's just another source of stress. You're trying to do something positive and maybe people don't take it that way.
Yeah, and then you think nobody likes me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And while you focused on young adults, this is something that people of all ages can relate to, I would think.
Oh, certainly. I'm not an emerging adult, but it definitely hit home for me. And in doing this research, I've personally changed my social media use. And I think it's even more salient in adolescence.
Yeah. Well, Carrie on Facebook says, social media makes me miserable. People are rude and nasty, and everyone airs their opinions on everything, whether you want to hear it or not. Don't even get me started on all the false stories and downright lies that people take as truth. I would love to get rid of it, but it's so addicting. And then she writes, ... one of these days. So that's what's kind of, so here she is frustrated and maybe even, stressed out, a little angry over the rude and nasty things she sees and maybe even the false things she sees. But it's hard to put down the phone or turn off the screen.
I know. And I think that is the biggest issue, is that people, while it all causes stress, it's also something that you feel like you don't want to miss out on something, and you feel a lot of pressure to stay connected, because it also, I think, that what you see online also even spills over into your day-to-day interactions. For example, I have a lot of friends who will only post stuff about their kids online, and so if you don't see that or you don't go on it, you have no idea what's going on, and people expect you to use, to be checking and to be updated.
Right. Or that's where you might get the social or the Facebook invite to a certain event. And if you're not, that fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one thing, and the person who posted that comment, I think, why not make today that day? I know it's very challenging, but you don't have to take an all or nothing approach to detoxing a little bit from social media. You can do it in a way that is and just create a little bit of moderation for yourself. Maybe stop following some of the people that you find very stressful, that you find very anger-inducing or disturbing, and that way you can still get updates, but maybe not necessarily get exposed to as much content that makes you so angry.
So unfollow your angry uncle?
Yes, exactly.
And what else? So besides maybe unfollowing some people that post stressful things, is there anything we can do to kind of detox a little bit or to try to unplug a little bit?
Yeah, so I think a couple really good areas that for detoxing would be, for example, if you're having a meal with somebody, or if you're out to dinner, or even just at home with your spouse or your kids or friends, just kind of put the phones to the side, just even for that 15 minutes, I think can be helpful, or maybe setting sort of a time at night where you're saying, okay, I'm unplugging, even so that right before you're going to sleep, you're not getting all wound up, because that can really interfere with sleep and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. Another thing that also is good is even just while you're in actual in-person conversation with someone, maybe just kind of make a rule for yourself to not necessarily check your text messages or things like that. I think those are really just little ways that we can promote daily digital detox without necessarily completely going off of it for a whole week, which is probably distressing at first.
We are talking with Anna Vannucci, research associate at Connecticut Children's Medical Center, co-author of a study that looked at social media use and anxiety in young adults. And we're talking about how social media use can result in stress and anxiety, and talking about ways we can detox. So, does social media stress you out? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And yes, you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about social media usage and our well-being, our mental well-being. Talking with a guest who is the co-author of a study that finds a link between social media usage and anxiety, especially in younger adults. And we wonder if you have some issues with social media. Does social media make you sad or mad or anxious or even depressed? Have you ever tried to detox from social media or unplug from social media? Or are you currently deactivated? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can post, if you're still on it, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Anna Vannucci, who is a research associate at Connecticut Children's Medical Center. She was quoted in a recent Time magazine article. You asked, is social media making me miserable? So what about you? Is social media something social or antisocial as far as you're concerned? And does it make you miserable, or for the most part, are you happy with social media? We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Carson in Milwaukee. Hi, Carson.
Hi.
Yes, I understand that you are trying to detach from social media.
Yes. However, it's very difficult to do because I work in an art space where the main form of communication between me and my co-volunteers is through Facebook. So I've wanted to detach for a while now, but it's hard. I used to do stand-up comedy, and there's just such a need to have a strong social presence nowadays for a comic to progress, and that just ultimately ended up leading to such an anxiety that I just quit stand-up altogether.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But can you, Carson, I'm just curious if you can, you know, use it for your, you know, work issues, but when you're maybe detox a little bit when you're not using it for work.
I've certainly pulled away from using it all the time. I can't believe how blue the sky is and how green the grass is, you know, now that I finally looked up from my phone. But I see it affecting other people in my life quite drastically as well. For example, my significant other is just constantly on his phone. However, he's working for a website that he's writing lines all the time that are being bought by campaigners. So he feels the need to just constantly be on his phone, and it can even put stressors on our relationship.
Yeah, what about, yeah, that's, Anna, I bet you that is a part of your anxiety too, if your significant other is on it constantly.
Certainly. I certainly think so. Just like any type of like work sort of things you have to negotiate, it's also important to negotiate maybe rules around social media. Maybe if when you guys are spending time together, eating dinner, maybe there's a point at night where you have a couple hours to yourself. I know that can be a challenging conversation, but I think if you feel it's impacting your relationship and also your own mental health, I think that is something worth having a conversation about.
Yeah. Well, what is your reaction to Carson? Here she wants to detach, but because of work issues, it's very hard to do so.
Yeah, I completely empathize. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's alone. I think that can be very challenging. And I'm wondering if one way to do this, like you were alluding to, potentially just to go on Facebook, for example, delete all the other social media apps if that's something that you want to do from your phone. And even you can even delete Facebook from your phone because you're able to log in while not having the app. So you could either just do it on a desktop, which is something that I do sometimes, is I'll only go on Facebook for things like invitations and organizing events, but only do it when I'm sitting at a screen rather than out and about. And as well, if you don't have those apps on your phone, you're going to be less likely to just automatically go there and check it if you have free time or if you're bored or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and I can relate too, because I do a lot of Facebook posting for this job. And I am on Facebook a lot. Plus, I get a lot of news feeds from Facebook. Okay. If a lawmaker posts something, I'm able to use that for our political discussions. And so it's really hard, but I am on it probably way more than other people. And it's one of those things where once I'm off work, I have to turn off the Facebook. When you mentioned get rid of the other apps, I was wondering, is there a difference between Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or any of the other social media sites when it comes to our well-being?
Yeah, I think that's actually something that we are exploring right now in our data. So there hasn't really been there's been very, very few studies comparing differences. In fact, the only one that I can think of compared, I believe, Facebook and Instagram, and it showed that Instagram invoked feelings of more jealousy than Facebook. And I would guess that is probably because it's just because of like the picture-based way that Instagram or perhaps Snapchat looks. It's just more more salient to people. It creates more of a, you feel like you're more like you're there, whether if it's like a video base or rather than something that's just text.
Oh, and I'm also thinking when I sometimes see Instagram, it's sometimes just the most gorgeous photography or a beautiful filters mm-hmm. are used, and that person's vacation looks so much better than mine or something
right.
like that.
Right, yeah, it's always like because there's so much beautiful editing software that can be used, and you just never know how much editing has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there was just also a report that's from the Royal Society for Public Health, and they do kind of a descriptive analysis. So they asked a lot of different people, a lot of different adults, about how different social media sites impact different aspects of their health. And they found that Instagram was probably the most, they found that Instagram was the most negative, followed by Snapchat, then Facebook, then Twitter. So I think that kind of aligns with that idea of seeing these beautiful images or videos, whereas I think people use Twitter more for things like news and things like that.
We are talking with Anna Vannucci, who is the co-author of the study Social Media Use and Anxiety in Emerging Adults. And we wonder if you have some questions for her about social media usage and whether it does more harm than good, or how we might limit our use of social media if it means better well-being, mental well-being in particular. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Stephanie in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. I just want to play like maybe the devil's advocate a little bit. You know, I'm a paramedic, and one of the ways that I use Facebook is to be on paramedic groups where we share tips and ideas about things that can go on in the field or in the ER. And I think sometimes everyone always is focused on the negative part, and I don't have a lot of that on my accounts because I just choose not to look at it. You know, I'm part of hound groups and running groups and those type of things, and just ignore the rest.
Yeah, so you just follow the things that make you happy and you're interested
yeah.
in, and if there's some ugly political site that doesn't interest you, you don't follow it.
Yeah, I just block it. And you don't have to unfriend a person. It doesn't mean you're not going to see it. You can block them. It's just if they're being negative, maybe they're going through something in their lives and they're smearing it all over Facebook. I just ignore it, you know. And another way Facebook can be positive, or Instagram and all those type of things, is like we have a relative who's very sick and she can't leave the house much. So the way that she stays in touch with the family and sees what's going on is she gets to go on Facebook and see all her relatives doing things. And she loves it. You know, she tells me all the time, like, how important it is for her to see all that. So not all of it is negative. I understand there is a lot of negative, but I think if you choose how to use it and how often to use it, it can be a very positive experience.
And thank you very much, Stephanie. Anna, would you agree or not?
Oh, yeah, I certainly agree. I think Stephanie brings up a really important point here, that social media, I think, has a tremendous power to really connect other people and bridge gaps. For example, like you're saying, like you join, Stephanie would join groups of other like-minded paramedics where they could exchange information, tips, and really be supportive to each other. And that type of thing couldn't really have existed without social media. So that is extremely important, and that would be important for other people who have, for example, if they're suffering with certain types of health issues. You can create these online communities. And also, as Stephanie was saying, you can really use your social media to enhance your real-world interactions as well by joining running groups to facilitate connectedness with people who might not be able to get out of the house or relatives who live very far. I think it has an incredible opportunity for positive benefits. We just need to, like Stephanie said, kind of try to focus on the positives and just be aware of things that might take away from the positive experience that you can get out of social media.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephanie, for sharing that. Sue on Facebook has a similar point. She says, my 90-year-old mother has a Facebook page. She uses it to stay connected to her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who are located all over the United States. It's a wonderful way for her to remain social without traveling. So that's maybe very positive for this 90-year-old great-grandmother, Anna?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, again, I think social media has the potential to connect people and have real social experiences when you can't necessarily be there in person. And that could also be true for when children go off to college and they're not living with parents anymore, that they can connect via Snapchat or post pictures and things like that. I think it's that there can be a lot of positives to that.
Molly emailed, after bringing our first child home from the hospital, I found myself comparing myself as a first-time mother to other people's posts. I felt that if I didn't take all the expected pictures or post that I was unbearably happy, I wasn't living up to the make-believe world of Facebook. A good friend of mine challenged me to take the application off my phone for 2 weeks. I did. 2 years ago, and I haven't looked back. I don't access social media at all anymore, and I don't miss it in the least. So how about that for a solution, Anna?
I mean, that's something that I personally have done. So I definitely, I engage with social media, but once I took them off my phone, I saw a tremendous difference. And I completely empathize with that idea of you feel the pressure to keep up with expectations of others, and that can be very unsettling. And even if it's something that you know, like I think most people know that what people post isn't necessarily every aspect of their life, but at the same time, it still affects you.
Yeah.
And so I think to know that, to know it, but then to know that it's not necessarily real, but then you're still feeling stress about it. I think that's a really important point. And I think that that's a really good example of how if you try it, just try to challenge yourself, see how you feel without social media. And you may like it or you may not, or you may end up with something in moderation.
And I thought that was a really powerful example too. A new mom thinking that she's not adequate because she's, you know, whatever, not posting enough or not, you know, not bringing her kids to all these, you know, fun educational opportunities like, maybe she sees friends doing. So, yeah, that would be hard.
Yeah, very hard.
Let's see. Rachel in Madison is with us. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what is your thought?
Yes, so I used to be a very heavy Facebook user. That's the only form of social media that I use. I don't know about the others so much. But what I noticed is that I used to always try to put so much pressure on myself to post, like, everything that I did, anything fun, you know, or if I was having a good hair day. And it just, I have, now that I've taken a break from it, it's just, I can, you know, just feel, like, breathe, you know, a breath of fresh air, and it's so much more relaxed. And I kind of have this running joke with some friends of mine who don't use Facebook as much now that, you know, if you go somewhere fun or take a great trip, if you don't post it on Facebook, it never happened.
Yeah.
so, you know, there's, I think it kind of can prevent people from really living in the moment and enjoying their lives, you know. If you go to, like, a New Year's Eve party and, like, everybody's toasting, you know, and it's like, oh, wait, gotta, you know, fix my hair, take this selfie, you know, and post it on Facebook. I think it just gets in the way of people really enjoying their lives and, you know, just kind of being themselves with, you know, all the pressure to portray just this perfect life on Facebook. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Yeah, here, let's take a picture of that sunset rather than just really enjoy that sunset.
Right. I saw, like, a series of photograph, like a photographer took all these pictures of what would be beautiful landscapes, but then it's actually people with their phone, like up, you know, like at a wedding, like someone's getting married and everyone just has their phones up. They're not actually really engaged with what's happening in front of them. And I think that you're right. It certainly can take you out of the moment, like having a toast. Oh, wait, we have to all get a picture first.
Yeah.
Like you don't actually then enjoy the toast.
But it's interesting when Rachel, because it's something that I've noticed just on my own, in that I post a lot for work, but I have been posting a little bit less personally. And Nyasia, my producer, is giving me a look like, no, you haven't. But this is a different, when I'm not, it's like, you know, I haven't posted. What should I post? What's interesting right now? What, you know, what's my cat Ray doing? You know, I mean, anything. It's and I feel like inadequate because I'm not posting. There's nothing interesting to post.
Right. So, yeah. So you're talking about this idea, does this, like, because there's always an audience in social media, you feel like you have to keep up with your audience and then keep up with others who may be posting constantly or posting frequently.
Yeah, so what advice do you have to someone who, I'm not necessarily disturbed by everybody else's posts, but I feel like I have to keep up with the Joneses by posting things.
Right. I guess, I mean, you could ask yourself why that might be the case. I think just wondering why you're posting. Is it something that you really want to share with people, like a happy event or something? Or is it something where it's just you feel like you need to meet expectations? I think if you can just accept, I think it's more of a just like a that's like a personal acceptance type of thing.
Yeah, that my audience will just have to wait.
Yeah, the audience will have to wait. And, you know, I think that that idea of, like, if you didn't post it, it didn't happen. Well, I think that's a very legitimate fear. But I think also it gives you the grounds to be able to have something to talk about with people when you see them as well. Because if you're always posting, then, like, when you're with people, it's no wonder that you have nothing to talk about because they've already seen it.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about quality over quantity, I suppose, as well. And we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about social media and our mental health. I'm talking with the co-author of a study that looked at social media usage and anxiety in young adults. And there was a connection. After this news. We are talking about how social media use may be stressing us out, and we're wondering if it stresses you out, or if you think it's all good, or if you are maybe limiting your use of social media sites or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Anna Vannucci, a research associate at Connecticut Children's Medical Center. She's the co-author of a study, Social Media Use and Anxiety in Emerging Adults. And this study looked at 18 to 22-year-olds and how social media impacted their anxiety levels. It turned out that the more time that they spent on social media per day, the greater chance they had of having anxiety symptoms or the greater likelihood of actually having an anxiety disorder. So we're talking about why this might be and what we can do, even if we don't have a full-fledged anxiety disorder, what we might do to de-stress or detach from social media if it is a problem for us. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Let's take another call. Glenn in Stoughton is with us. Hi, Glenn.
Hi,
Glenn. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about a positive for me. I'm someone who has drawn and built life sometimes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Glenn. We are really not hearing you very well. Your phone is fading in and out. Can you very briefly say what you like about social media?
Just that being on Instagram has made me drawn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your phone, your cell phone isn't transmitting your voice properly. So, let me just say that he is an artist, and he's thinking that Instagram is very very helpful in his profession as an artist. He does post regularly, and it motivates him to do his best work. And again, I guess your study wasn't saying that social media is bad. Turn it all off, right?
Oh, no, certainly not. It's our study was just, I think what our study highlights is that social media has the potential to create stress and anxiety, and that differs very much by individual. So I think that, as several of the listeners said today, social media can have a lot of powerful social benefits and also professional benefits, but it's also helpful to be mindful of certain types of content or how much time you're using it relates to stress in your life as well.
Right. And I have to say that, you know, I use social media, Facebook in particular, a lot, as I've mentioned before. And aside from this, you know, oh, gee, you know, I haven't posted in a while. What should I post? I don't feel like I'm I take that back. I do when I see you know, ugly political debate, then it just gets sad.
Right.
And so if you notice that that you're sad or that you're jealous or that you're stressed out or anxious over your life, comparing it to somebody else, what do you suggest you do?
I think that you can, we've already talked about detoxing, unfollowing, but I think you can also then, what we haven't really talked about is really how to harness a lot of the positive potential of social media. I think that you can really use it to reach out to people or find inspiration, follow people that you find inspirational or aspirational. Use it to connect to groups of things that you're interested in, like whether it's a running group or groups for people with like-minded interests.
Right. You can get the things that are not going to stress you out, the things that are going to make you happy can be on your feed, and that would be much better.
Yeah, it's like the idea of just enhancing the positive, minimizing the negative, so that overall more of what you're seeing is going to be something that's positive or something that you're interested in.
Yeah, I did hear that, and I'm not sure if you have any experience with this, Anna, but that clinicians are using social media to help people who have stress and anxiety.
I have a clinical background, and I used to work with adolescents, and so social media is something that always came up with them. And so at least how a lot of clinicians that I've spoken to and how I personally have used it is
for individuals with anxiety, you can use it for, you can actually use social media to reach out to other people that maybe you have disconnected from. A lot of people with anxiety are very socially isolated, and social media presents a safe way to get in touch with people maybe that you have lost touch with. You can also use it for practice and interacting with others, or join groups of other people that also have a lot of anxiety, and you can share tips and things like that. Like the caller earlier who mentioned sharing tips with other people who are paramedics, you can do the same thing, but for people with similar health problems or mental health problems.
Very nice. Grace in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Grace.
Hi. So I want to talk about just the amount of time that I use on social media. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that, especially the last couple months and or year, I spend a lot of time on it, and so do a lot of my peers. But one thing that I've noticed is that it makes me less creative because I'm just seeing other people's work and other people's creativity. And because social media is primarily entertaining for me, I use it for a lot of music and stuff, I'm not able to come up with that creativity myself. I read that you can't be creative if your mind isn't bored. And that's something that really has kind of bothered me because I've kind of fallen out of that creative pattern because of social media, I feel like.
What do you think of that, Anna?
I think that, I think that raises a really excellent point, that idea that social media sort of takes you out of yourself and puts you into other people's lives, or just, it keeps your mind occupied. And I think that that's why a lot of people tend to use it when they're bored. But at the same time, if your mind's occupied with images or things that other people are doing, your mind's sort of not exploring or doing any daydreaming or sort of coming up with thoughts or going through that sort of mental process that people probably do. Creativity comes in the strangest of forms or in the most random of places.
We have Brandy on Facebook says, social media's like everything else. It's what you bring to it. Just like if you drink too much alcohol, that brings you misery. And too much social media can bring you misery as well. It's like the guest said, it's all about moderation. So it's all about moderation, Anna?
I do think it's all about moderation. I think we don't have a particular number or a specific cutoff point that we can point to at this stage, because, again, I think it varies very much by individual. But I think, again, people who spend all of their time on social media are probably doing that to the exclusion of other helpful activities. But I think, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's fine to eat chocolate sometimes, but maybe not chocolate at every meal.
Yeah.
And I think that same goes for social media.
But there is something going on with those notifications and and maybe because it is on the phone and there is such an easy access that you are constantly checking. It's not, you know, I'm not constantly checking email or something like that for the most
right.
part. But so there is that, whoever put that stuff together kind of knows how the brain works a little bit, I think.
I know. Mm-hmm. I think that we're certainly fighting a battle, and that we are, the people who come up with these sites are constantly tweaking all of their algorithms to make it even more immersive and make us spend more time on it.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of over. They know exactly how to take advantage of our brains in a way,
yeah.
in a way, much like fast food companies know how to get you to keep eating chips.
That's right. Mark in Madison is with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning. You know, I was thinking about social media in terms of, you know, it really amplifies your presence to the world. And that could be a great thing, but it also leaves you vulnerable to a lot of forces that kind of want your attention. And so I think it's really helpful to really just keep that in mind, that you're like a much bigger person in very many ways. And if you limit your access and really make choices, you can make it a healthy choice, you know, and fit it into your life.
Interesting that it amplifies your presence. What do you think of that, Anna? I guess what I'm thinking about is I do run into people who say, oh, I see you sprained your ankle. I mean, they do know everything about me.
and,
Or, you know, oh, I saw your, you know, pictures from your vacation. And they're really, you know, it's different because, you know, normally you wouldn't be known everywhere you know, all your friends and coworkers and everybody knows everything about you. It amplifies your presence.
Yeah, I think that is an excellent point. People can gain thousands of followers. Like an average adolescent can gain thousands of followers just by doing makeup tutorials or something like that. And I think it's certainly something that can be very powerful because it can enhance your influence in the world. But it also, again, like can, but there's also, it's a double-edged sword in that it also invites, it can invite more criticism as well.
Yeah. And here's a similar comment from Matt, who emailed, I quit Facebook about a year ago. Now when I run into people I don't know what they have been doing and vice versa, I like having conversations that are spontaneous and interesting. Facebook took that away. Huh. There's another, consequence, I suppose, of doing Facebook or social media too much. So as we wrap up, Anna, what final message would you like to leave with our listeners when it comes to our social media usage?
I think like the key thing that we've been discussing is that social media can have a lot of positive benefits, but it also can be very stressful and anxiety provoking. So I think that it's important to be mindful of both the content that you post and the content that you see, as well as how much you're using it. And in doing that, I think that you can find ways to use it in harness the positive benefits and minimize the stressful parts of it.
Yeah, and just for those in our final minute, for those who just tuned in, if we don't want to necessarily turn off social media altogether, just some tips to maybe not use it as much.
I would say take the apps off the phones, and just so you have to force yourself to actively log in. Maybe not having it at dinner times or not using it when talking to other people, or just creating an hour for yourself every day where you put the phone to the side. It has to be intentional.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Anna Vannucci, Research Associate at Connecticut Children's Medical Center and co-author of the study, Social Media Use and Anxiety in Emerging Adults. Thanks to Nyasia Ellison for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.